Our scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I've been told by those who are experienced in the ministry and wise that if you preach through long books of the Bible, especially if you take your time with them as I typically do, it's good to break it up a little bit. And so we're going to take a break from the Gospel of John, and we will consider the theme of Thanksgiving, prayer with Thanksgiving. We don't always preach a sermon about whatever holiday is taking place, but I think this is the first time I've done that. So let's give our attention to God's Word as we consider that theme this morning together. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be considering verses 6 through 7. Let me begin our reading at verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, beginning our reading at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In our text for this morning, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Undoubtedly, many gathered together this past week to celebrate Thanksgiving. They got together with family and friends. Some may have traveled long distances to have a great big turkey feast, to visit with loved ones, and hopefully also to remind ourselves that we ought to be thankful. But I wonder how many who gathered around a table filled with turkey and stuffing and other goodies actually returned thanks to God and actually did so with sincerity. Hopefully a lot of people did. But I still wonder how many. We all know what it means to be thankful, that it is important to be thankful. We tell people all the time, thank you, don't we? We write thank you notes and we send thank you cards. We train our children at an early age, don't we, children, to say thank you. It's very important, children, that you develop a habit of saying thank you, that you have such a mindset that's being cultivated and developed. Most people say thank you for something or other, to one degree or another, but how many render their thank yous to God? How many thank God as much or as often as they thank others? It has been the tradition in our nation for quite some time now for the president at this time of year to issue a national proclamation of thanksgiving. And in that proclamation, to call upon the people to give thanks and to be thankful. And for many years, up until very recent times, the president would call upon the people to give thanks to God. However, this year, that call was conspicuously absent. Now, President Biden did give God an honorable mention, which was good. He started out by saying the following: Thanksgiving provides us with a time to reflect on our many blessings from God, this nation, and each other. We are grateful for these blessings, even and especially during times of challenge. So God was mentioned at least once, only once. But in the whole rest of the proclamation, God is absent. Biden goes on to list all of those for whom we should be thankful. We are thankful for the farmers, he says, and then goes on. We are thankful for the educators. We are thankful for the parents. We are thankful for the healthcare professionals. We are thankful for the researchers and the scientists. We are thankful for our troops. Now, this is not to say that we ought not to be thankful for such people and that such should not be mentioned in his address. But if there is one person, or should I say one being, to whom thankfulness is to be owed above all others, it is to God, to the true and living God, the Creator, the one from whom all blessings flow. And one of the chief means by which we render thanks to God is obviously prayer. So when you pray to God, whether it is at this time of the year or any other time, remember to give God thanks. When you pray, remember to give God thanks. Now, I believe from our text, we will be able to see four reasons why we should be reminded to render thanks to God when we pray. The first reason is that thanksgiving is an essential aspect of our praying, an essential part of our praying. The second reason is that thankfulness is often overlooked or is easily forgotten. The third reason is that the giving of thanks is most needful for us. And the fourth reason is that God is well deserving of our thankfulness. It's essential, it's easily forgotten, it is needful, and God is well deserving of it. Now, there's obviously a lot that could be said about our text. Philippians 4, really this whole section, verses 6 and 7 especially, are very well known. Perhaps some of you children or some of you adults memorized this passage. But we will be focusing our attention specifically on this one aspect of prayer with thanksgiving. And in that sense, this sermon will be a little bit more topical in nature rather than exegeting the whole text. But as a reminder, let's hear the text again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The first reason, thankfulness is essential to prayer. The Apostle Paul in our text does not mention thanksgiving in addition to praying because it is something different than prayer, but because it is an important element of our praying that is not ordinarily to be left out. It is not synonymous with prayer. Okay. He mentions prayer, which is a more broad general term. Then he mentions supplication, which that word in the Greek means more specific requests. And then he mentions with thanksgiving. But prayer itself is not thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is included as a part of prayer. Everywhere throughout Scripture, thanksgiving is primarily rendered to God, either through our praying to Him or in our praising of Him. Prayers of thanksgiving and praises of thanksgiving abound all throughout the Scripture. Although I will add that thanksgiving is also, in a sense, rendered to God in some of the offerings of the Old Testament. Especially Leviticus chapter 7 and 22, we see the mention of the sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord. Leviticus 22 verse 29 says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." This was called the thank offering. In Psalm 56, 12, the psalmist declares, "Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you." Now, in the King James, the New King James Version, it's translated praises. And I'm not sure exactly why they did that, because it's the word translated all over the Old Testament for thanksgiving or for thank offering. It's literally thanksgiving. And so I think there is a certain sense in which we render thanks to God in our praying. We render thanks to God in our praising. But we also, when we give above our tithe and we return to the Lord out of thanksgiving for what He has given to us, we thank Him in offering. Now, when we think about the Psalms being a model for our praying and a manual for our praise, we see that they are filled, chocked full of thanksgiving. It's not hard to pick out a psalm for the worship service of thanksgiving when you're preaching on that topic. Psalm 92:1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 118:1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." That's repeated in Psalm 136. Psalm 100 verse 4 states, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, be thankful to Him, and bless His name." Psalm 106 verse 47, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles." In other words, gather us from out of the world, those whom You've chosen, gather us that we might give thanks to Your holy name. Psalm 140, verse 13, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to Your name." That's just a small taste. Thanksgiving is all over the Psalms. And thus we see, even in the Psalms, that thanksgiving is an essential component of prayer and praise. If you ever want to get an idea of the kinds of things to render thanks to God for, just turn to the Psalms. They will give you much matter for prayer and for praise. Much to be thankful for God's mercy, for God's faithfulness, for His loving kindness, for His goodness, for answered prayer, for spiritual gifts, for rain, for fertility, for God's rich provision, for food, for salvation and redemption, and much, much more. Thankfulness, we learn from the Psalms, is to be frequently upon our lips. It is to characterize the life of the believer. Thanksgiving has been recognized as an important part of prayer in that well-known acronym, ACTS. I'm sure you've heard that before. We've mentioned that in the adult Sabbath school class: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. A wonderful model to follow. The Westminster Divines, and just so you know, divine just is a term for minister that was used back then. The Westminster Divines viewed thanksgiving as such an element, essential element of our praying, that they agreed to define prayer in this way in the Shorter Catechism. Now listen, children, this is a great definition. Memorize this. Some of you are learning the catechism, and somebody could say, "Well, what's prayer? What should we do in prayer?" And they give an answer. "Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies." Interestingly, the larger catechism doesn't elaborate that much more on that question. It only adds the phrase, "with the help of His Spirit," which is also important. Now, talking about how important thanksgiving is in relationship to prayer, you may have wondered if you have spent any time studying the Lord's Prayer or have prayed the Lord's Prayer, or have used it as a model and guide in praying, you may have wondered why Thanksgiving is not explicitly mentioned in that prayer. If Thanksgiving is such an important part of our praying, why didn't our Lord include it in the prayer He gave His disciples and us to pray? We have actually been learning a little bit about the Lord's Prayer in the adult Sabbath school hour, learning that the Lord's Prayer furnishes for us, in very broad strokes, all that we could possibly need to mention to God in prayer. That it encompasses all that is essential and that is important in prayer, so that we can be assured we're praying according to God's will when we use that prayer as a guide. And yet the giving of thanks appears to be absent. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever thought about that? I hadn't till more recent years, but why isn't the giving of thanks more explicit? Well, those who have taken the time to really expound upon that prayer and unpack it for us have agreed that the fourth petition is seen as that petition among theologians where thanksgiving must be included, and that petition where thanksgiving is certainly implied. Now, of course, we could really see in the various petitions how thanksgiving can fit. Even when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," it would include within that a submission to God's will and a thankfulness for what God has accomplished and what is brought into our life, regardless of whether it is good or bad in our opinion. But theologians certainly have seen it in the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." For always and everywhere in Scripture, we see that before there is the partaking of our daily food, we have the example given to us of giving thanks. Thomas Aquinas, actually, this is towards the end of his life, preached a series of 10 sermons on the Lord's Prayer, which are actually very good in many respects. Now, you may be surprised to hear me mention Thomas Aquinas, but Thomas Aquinas was a very good theologian in some ways and a very horrible theologian in others. But in this, he had some good things to say. According to Aquinas, our Lord taught us to pray for bread only, that is, the needs of the present life. He did not teach us to ask for uncommon things, luxurious things, or a variety of things, but for bread, without which man cannot live at all. Just a couple more lines from Aquinas, but listen, he breaks down, I'm kind of summarizing here, but he breaks down our daily bread. Daily bread means that we are to ask only for what we need today. Reminds us of the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites and the manna that was provided day by day, that we learn that we are dependent upon God day by day. Daily bread. That we ask for bread reminds us that we are not to ask for more than what is absolutely necessary. That we ask for our daily bread reminds us to be content with such things as we have and not covetous of what others have. And such contentment implies that we are thankful for it. So in case you were wondering, thanksgiving is still there. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Certainly, even our Lord taught us by example to give thanks before we partake of the food that we have been given. And listen to 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, which clearly teaches us the importance of sanctifying our daily bread with prayers of thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4, 4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if, let me say it one more time, if it is received with thanksgiving." Implied, you shouldn't even be partaking of your daily bread unless it's received with thanksgiving. So So the giving of thanks is essential. It is a non-negotiable aspect of our praying. Our prayers are to be marked by thanksgiving. How can we go very long praying to our Heavenly Father without rendering to Him thanks? This does not mean that if you ever pray and do not offer thanks, you have necessarily sinned. But it does mean that the giving of thanks should be a regular part of our prayer lives and is not to be left out. The second reason we are reminded by the Apostle Paul to give thanks when we pray is that the giving of thanks is an easily forgotten part of our praying. And I think that is one of the main reasons why Paul often encourages God's people in his letters to give thanks specifically when he urges them to pray. It's really worth noticing how often the Apostle Paul will mention prayer with thanksgiving in his letters. Of course, in Philippians 4:6, which we read earlier, he says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." But then also in Colossians 4:2, he does the same thing when he writes, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Be earnest in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Also in 1 Timothy 2:1, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." Why doesn't he just say pray? Since thanksgiving is a part of prayer. Why is he always inserting thanksgiving next to prayer? Because we need the reminder to give thanks. He singles out thanksgiving. He doesn't say, be sure to bring in adoration even. Or make sure that you are confessing your sins, prayer and confession. No, but he says over and over again, remember to give thanks. Pray and don't forget, give thanks. That's because in our sinfulness, our selfishness, our frequent ingratitude in life, thanksgiving doesn't always come so naturally. As R.C. Sproul once remarked, "Unfortunately, we often spell our prayer life something like scat instead of acts, because we start with supplication and spend very little time, if any, on adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. We are so caught up with our needs and our wants, with the requests that we want answered, that thanksgiving is sometimes forgotten, or at least it is minimized. Not often are we abounding or overflowing with thanksgiving, as Paul writes in Colossians 2:7. One of my old pastors, I say one because I've had a few throughout my life, been at different churches, but one of my old pastors said to me, "You know, I can tell a lot about a person's godliness, about the degree and measure of their sanctification, by how much they render thanks to God in their prayers." Truly a mark of piety. You remember the story of when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, there are those lepers, actually from a distance, children. They never even got close, except the one. They never even got close to Jesus. And they were crying out from a distance, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord." You know, they couldn't be around other people with their skin disease. And Jesus said to them, "Go to the priest. Show yourself to the priest." And as they were walking on their way to the priest, they were healed. They were healed of their leprosy. And verse 15 says in that story, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and he fell down on his face. Children, his face was in the dirt. He fell down on his face, giving him thanks. So Jesus answered and said, was there not 10 cleansed? Well, where are the other 9? Were there not any others found who returned to give glory to God? And he said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I'm afraid this story teaches us that thanksgiving is rare, even among those who have been touched by the Lord's hand. Thanksgiving is essential to prayer. It is easily forgotten in prayer. And the third reason the apostle reminds us to give thanks when we pray is that such thanksgiving is most needful for us. He says in our text that if we bring our requests to God with thanksgiving, we will receive a greater measure of God's peace in our life, and that our hearts and our minds will be guarded by sinful thoughts and attitudes. You know, that's the word for a person who is a military soldier, like guarding a prison. Just think of that, guarding us from sinful thoughts and attitudes. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you must bring that in. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. The apostle starts off by saying, be anxious for nothing. Now, it's good to be concerned about various things in life, to be diligent, careful, to think ahead and plan. But this is not what the apostle has in mind in this text. It's rather a word that means to be unduly worried and troubled about the things of this life. It's the word that's used of Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And I'd actually like to go there and read just a few verses from that. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Worried and troubled about many, many things. Actually, Matthew Henry put it very well when he said this word refers to the anxiety of distrust. The anxiety of distrust, which is our sin and folly, which only perplexes and distracts the mind. Very well put. The anxiety of distrust. Remember that when you look at that verse. Be anxious for nothing. The anxiety of distrust. Because it refers to our discontentment and anxiety over our situation in life with which we are not happy about. To such an extent, we are not trusting God for a good outcome. And as we all know, fear and worry and anxiety of this kind can play a very unhealthy and a dominating role in our life. And Paul says in this text, I know this to be the case, and therefore you must go to God in prayer, and you must be thankful. You must render thanksgiving unto God. Thanksgiving is a very important part of our own personal sanctification. It has a sanctifying influence upon us. It is good for us to give thanks to God and to do so frequently. Thanksgiving is to be brought constantly before the Lord, for it will stir up within us gratitude, contentment with our circumstances. It will foster peace within our hearts. We were just talking in the Sabbath school hour this morning about those things that we can pray about that have been revealed to us, that God will grant to us, that we can be assured of. And this is one of those texts. Pray with thanksgiving. Do you not want that? Do you not desire to be more sanctified in that way? Then go to the throne of grace with thanksgiving. Shower God with your thanks. Thank Him for your circumstances, whatever they may be, whether good or bad perceived by us. Don't we see that change, even in our children, when we urge them to be thankful? When they are made to say thank you for something? When they learn to say thank you, have you done that, children, for a meal that was prepared? Or thank you for being able to go over to someone's house to play and they thank those parents? Or thanks for the gifts that they have been given? And sometimes they might not even want to say thank you for something. Like a toy they really didn't want and they don't care much about. But because it's the polite thing to do, you tell them you must do it. You will say thank you to so-and-so. And this has a positive, even a sanctifying influence upon their lives. You see it in their attitudes. You see the action of giving thanks actually affects the heart. And that's one thing that's so important that you teach people in biblical counseling. That you never ever do something until you want to. You don't wait until, well, I don't really feel like praying, and so I shouldn't pray. No! It's the action that actually changes the heart. Not that the action alone changes the heart. We must be born from above. But the point is that our action and what we do affects our minds, our attitudes, our life, and our sanctification. And so in like manner, we must go to the Lord with thankfulness, even when we are not necessarily thankful. When things are not going our way, when circumstances are not what we want them to be. As one theologian put it, we as Christians are to be marked by an unnatural thankfulness, or what he called an uncommon thankfulness. As we all know, it's a lot easier to be thankful, to render thanks to God over perceived blessings that come our way, over the good stuff. But even those in the world have a tendency to do that, to thank others for that, maybe even thank God for that. But what about the bad things that happen in life? The uncomfortable things, the distressing things, when the car breaks down, when the turkey in the oven is burnt, when the bills are piling up, when the children are growing older and becoming more disobedient and rebellious and disrespectful, when we are struck with a horrible sickness or disease, when a loved one dies, when there are politicians in power who oppose our freedoms. That's a powerful verse in 1 Timothy 2. I read the first part of it earlier. Let me read the rest of it to you. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. When was the last time you gave thanks to God for President Biden? For all kings, all who are in authority. And I just heard, do you see what I'm saying? We don't want to do that. It's so contrary to our thinking. All things, all men, give thanks. And the world says, who would say thank you for those things? That is so contrary to our inclination. What's wrong with you? You still have joy and are thankful even when this great tragedy has come upon you? When the world is going to hell in a handbasket, as some people say? But as it says in our text, this is the peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace and a thankfulness that this world knows nothing of. And this is, of course, what God calls us to do. In everything, in everything, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know what the most remarkable giving of thanks that's recorded in Scripture is? When Jesus, on the night that he was going to be betrayed and was going to hang on the cross for your sins and mine, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, which symbolized his body, which was about to be broken, and his blood spilled out, he gave thanks. He gave thanks that he was able to go to the cross and to save wretches like you and like me. Congregation, you must cultivate a thankful heart by many prayers of thanksgiving. It is most needful for you. As one well-known biblical counselor by the name of Stephen Yule has said, this is what he said. He's counseled lots of people. He speaks on counseling. When we find ourselves not focused on the Lord, and we find ourselves not consciously practicing thanksgiving, our default position will be grumbling. When we find ourselves not consciously practicing thanksgiving, our default position will be grumbling and complaining. Thanksgiving is essential to prayer. It's a forgotten aspect of prayer, and it's needful for us. The fourth reason, and probably the most important and most obvious reason, that we should render thanks to God when we pray is that God is most worthy and most deserving of such thanks. Who is like unto our God? To what can you compare him? Who has first given to him that he should give to anyone back something? Rather, you must ask the question, what have I been given that I did not first receive from his hand? Nothing. Nothing. You know, you and I may get offended when we do something for someone and we are never thanked for it. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever done that? I did this for that person, and they never acknowledged my existence. They never recognized it. They never thanked me at all. Congregation, in the final analysis, you don't deserve anything. You don't deserve the thanks. You haven't really earned it. But to God, thankfulness is a debt that is owed to him by all of his creatures. Just think of all the great benefits you've received from his hand. Is there anything you should not thank him for? Is there anything you can say, well, about that, I don't know that I should thank God for that? Let's go through a short list. To begin with, God created you. He gave you life. He didn't have to do that. You could have never existed. That's not an option for God. He alone has life within himself, eternal life. He has always been. But you could have never existed, never even seen the light of day. And he gave you life. He gave you being. And not only has he given you life, but he has given you to enjoy much of life. He has given you many good things in this life. He has given some of you many years of life. He's given you health, strength, energy, to play sports, to work hard, to earn a living, to buy cars and homes. He has given you every day of your life, everything that has entered your mouth, every bite of food, every tasty dessert. He has enabled you to experience the many pleasures of this life. He has given you the privilege of living in this century, in this generation, with air conditioning and computers and soft warm beds and indoor plumbing and airplanes and you name it. He has given you family and friends. He has given some of you the gift of marriage, so that you have continual companionship. He has given some of you children. He's given some of you children. I'm not addressing the children right now. Children who have been made in your likeness. Children, you get to wrestle with, play with, read to, teach, train, however you want. They're yours to raise within reason. He's given you the privilege of learning, of an education. He's given you the privilege of knowing the English language so that you can read the best translations of the Bible that are in existence. He has given you the ability to enjoy His creation in a multitude of ways. And if you will really take the time to think about it, those of us who are in this room, so much to be thankful for. We go on and on. If you're ever having trouble praying, knowing what to pray about or how to spend more time in prayer, just give God thanks. Go to Him and thank Him for all of His benefits, for all of His blessings, as well as for the hardships and the trials and life that you have faced, because you know that God is doing it for your good. And He is blessing you even in that, even when you can't see how. You could spend an entire day thanking God. But more than anything else, thank Him for your redemption. You know, the unbeliever, or I should really say the non-elect, the ones whom God has not chosen, which we don't know who they are. You know, the non-elect, it almost seems like, and I say almost seems because they really don't, but it almost seems like they have an excuse to not give thanks to God. Because in the end, they will only be eternally punished for their sin. And you can almost see this non-elect person on the day of judgment saying, God, you created me, you made me, just so I could be punished eternally in hell? Why should I render any thanks to you for that? But even in that, he should give thanks to God. He still owes thanks to God. But how can we, who have been redeemed by His hand, how can we fail to give thanks unto God? It's unthinkable. To doubt the necessity of it is to deny the faith. You know, you may feel like, as a Christian, that you really haven't done much for God. You may feel like a failure as a Christian, that you really haven't lived your life for the Lord like you wanted to, or like others have. I know I felt that way at times. You may feel as though you really haven't sacrificed that much for God and for His kingdom. And that may be true. Maybe you haven't. But you know what you can do, even now, is offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, verse 17 says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And that is a sacrifice that you can be guaranteed God is pleased with and will always accept if you have Christ as your mediator. You may have not sacrificed a lot, but you can offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and you can do it all the time. And with that, God will be well pleased. Therefore, when you pray, as you pray, always remember to give God thanks. Let's pray together. Dear gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word that You have brought to us this morning. We're thankful, Father, for the reminder to be thankful. Oh, God in heaven, stir up in our hearts, enlarge our hearts with immense gratitude to You for all things, for all that has even ever happened to us. Thankfulness for all of our circumstances in life. Thankfulness You've created to us. You've given so much to us. You have redeemed us. May we be a people marked by thankfulness, and may that act of thanksgiving sanctify us. May we be better used to glorify You in this life, that others may see us in our lives and be amazed that we are so joyful that we are so thankful, even in the midst of tragedy. Do this in us, we pray. It's a thanksgiving that only you can work in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.